This is Jeffrey Arend, and welcome to today's Flying Talkers. Happy Valentine's Day 2022. You know, it's that time of year when love shines. But unfortunately, India's flower growers and exporters will hardly feel the warmth of love this Valentine's Day 2022. Cupid, if you want to look at it this way, it'll bring some tears like last year's to the flower growers and exporters. Many had hoped that exports would rise, but that didn't happen. As Venkatakaru Koparu, director of Iris Biotech PVT Limited, a grower of roses, carnations, lilies, and some others put it, quote, "Our problems are continuing, and all costs starting from greenhouse costs, plant costs, input costs, air freight costs, everything is going up continuously. Don't want to cast a dark cloud over things, but we'll have the rest of the story right after this. Meantime, give somebody a hug, will you? It's Valentine's Day. Share the love. And welcome once again. I'll be right back. Flying Talkers podcast brought to you today by your friends at Pay Cargo, the better way to pay and to save time and money. You see, Pay Cargo has a better idea. By simplifying the payment process to more than 3,000 vendors, cargo moves faster. Pay Cargo saves you time and money by expediting important data and funds to ensure rapid release of your cargo. Maybe best of all, you get the time to build your business assured that the Pay Cargo team is with you, providing trackable, tangible results every step of the way. So why wonder why most shipments in the Pay Cargo system get released in as little as 1 hour? Go to www.paycargo.com and explore a whole new way to pay and get paid. Pay Cargo offers flexible payment options and also available credit lines. And as the number one online platform in the world for cargo payments, www.paycargo.com can offer you a level of service, financial expertise, and connectivity that makes it easy to ship, click, and pay. So go to www.paycargo.com and get the rest of the story. Discover how PayCargo simplifies a better way to pay and get paid. And tell them Flying Talkers sent you. That's www.paycargo.com. Great people to do business with. I keep thinking of the old song, "I Got a Rose Between My Toes," from Dancing Barefoot Through the Hothouse to You, Pretty Baby. Well, Mr. Koparu, as it turns out, is not alone over there in India. The flower farms, where it really matters, in Bengaluru and Pune and a few other places in the south of India, may be alive with a variety of colors and fragrances right now, but that has hardly brought smiles to the growers and exporters. The reason, of course, is COVID-19 and its aftermath. The flower capital of India, Bengaluru, sees more than 10 million stems of red roses, as example, being exported every year. This year, however, the story is no different, unfortunately, than last year. And we all know how that one turned out. So the pandemic has led to closures of large farms, loss of round-the-year export market for fresh flowers, significant inflation in raw material and services related to horticulture. The flower export is fighting hard. Mr. Koporu says. He's fighting hard for survival in a very competitive industry and looking desperately to the government for temporary help, which unfortunately is not there. Hari Subramanian, CEO Orion Flora Private Limited, says the pandemic has created huge challenges for flower exporters, especially losing their round-the-year market due to high freight and increased CNF pricing. The biggest hurdle for flower exporters has been the huge rise in air freight. Over the last year, air freight has gone up and made rose exports from India not competitive globally at all. We have many export orders, but we're unable to execute all of them due to very high air freight costs. And the risks, too, are very high due to that. The orders we okayed have been fulfilled. He went on to say that the freight costs are exorbitantly high, 350 to 400% higher when compared to pre-COVID. Add to that, there are not too many flights. Also, during the peak export season, few carriers canceled flights after confirming schedule and space. As a result, we are left with no choice but to delay shipments. And that's a problem for the most delicate of perishables, flowers. Koporu said that flower exports were taking part of the increased freight costs to customers who were willing, and the rest we absorb. As a result, our margins have gone down. We need to do this to sustain the continuity of the relationship with our customers. In some markets, we've stopped exports totally because the customers are not willing to share the increased freight cost, he said. Pune-based Orion Flora's major markets are the UK. It works with small, marginal, and medium-sized growers, giving them the opportunity to create sustainable long-term export markets for cut flowers throughout the season. Orion's market partner, Indifresh Limited, is the largest import of India floriculture products into the UK. Today, with Indifresh, it has increased the export quality of India roses. Orion's CEO, Hari Subramanian, points out the hurdles this year, highlighting the fact that the challenge for multiple reasons have just been there again and again and again. The export of fresh flowers from India has gone down considerably around the year due to freight restrictions and the resulting high freight rates from India to most destinations. Subramanian said the flower exporters have no choice but to grin and bear the high freight costs and lower margins. It's a direct quote. He said that with a competition from Kenya and Ethiopia for intermediate roses, the selling prices of red roses cannot increase in the European and UK markets. To top it all, the buying costs have increased due to high prices in the local market, and the resulting double whammy has reduced margins and returns for exporters. Unfortunately, he said, no help has come from the government or any other public sector bodies, and exporters have been left to fend for themselves. Flower growers have been saved thanks to domestic demand, Praveen Sharma, president of India Society of Floricultural Professionals. He's optimistic when he said, after all the setbacks that Indian floriculture suffered in the past 2 years, there was a ray of hope in the coming Valentine season, well, that's here now today. Over the last few months, the India domestic flower market has been on the bull run thanks to 2.5 billion lakh weddings across the country. There were a tremendous amount of weddings in Mumbai last month. Rose prices were unprecedented in the month of November in the Indian market, and flower bunch went for as high as $5.30. The usual price is $1.30 to $1.90. That's quite a bump. Sharma said that every year, flower growers prepare special production flushes for the Valentine season. But this year, that wasn't the case. The continued wedding season and better prices since November forced growers to take up regular production instead of special flushes for the Valentine season. Sharma said that exports from India were bound to decline this Valentine season, mainly due to better prices in the domestic market. Exporters faced huge demand, but due to the hike in freight charges, that just didn't happen. Exports have declined drastically in the last 3 years, as a matter of fact, during this pandemic, and we're expecting this to continue further falling as the year goes on, Sharma said. Iris Biotech Director Kapuru was equally hopeful about the domestic market. He said it's been a great help after the first COVID wave. He said that if the government wanted to help the farmers, it can definitely bring in some form of scheme to handle the perishable cargo in the special Krishna Udan, that's the agri-produce flights, which help increase the income of the farmers. So that's a little bit about the trials and tribulations going on right now in the India flower market. Better run out to the local florist and take care of your loved one. And have a happy Valentine's Day. This is Jeffrey Arend. Although it seems to me, I know time marches on, but lately, in the last year or so, we've been losing a lot of people that have gone west. It's got to be the pandemic. I know it's probably their time, our time, but, you know, when is it ever really ever time? Saddened to learn about Alfred Coolwin this past couple of weeks in Los Angeles. He started Commodity Forwarders in 1974, a couple of bucks in his pocket, one-man office in L.A., specializing in perishable products. 1981, the Hilo office opened from L.A., started shipping pineapples and papayas and flowers, and then San Francisco, and then Miami, Anchorage, Seattle, New York, Chicago, Boston. They're doing seafood up in Boston. And finally, in 2017, CFI became part of K&N, Kuehne+Nagel. In October 2019, the Air Cargo Association of Hawaii presented Alfred with their Air Cargo Person of the Year Award with a former employee, Fred Spencer of Trans-Pacific Associates, who's the president of Hawaiian Air Cargo Association. He said, "He always took time to assist shippers on the Big Island here, but beyond that, he helped growers develop markets and systems to keep their goods moving. Beyond all else, he was a good friend to everyone." A good friend, Fred said. He'll be missed. Once Alfred said, "Look, I began with $1,000. We built our company to 14 locations in 8 states and 400 employees," he said. He said, "I owe my success to all of the people around me. I've no doubt about that." Indication of his impact that CFI had on that Swiss giant K&N with its 9,000 employees could be seen in the spike they had, driven in some part by CFI perishables business worldwide when they took over in 2019. "He's a true gentleman," said his friend and colleague Tim O'Neill, former VP Cargo of the Americas, very good guy himself at Alitalia, currently serving as director Easy Italy, Easy Europe. "It's hard to know where to start with Alfred's life," Chris Connell, who works at Commodity, and of course is a genial presence for them at trade shows, and we see him quite often. "You know, he grew up in war-torn Germany. He strongly believed in what was known as the American dream. Arriving in the U.S. knowing very little English and with less than $20 in his pocket, he embarked on a journey that would become the start of his dream and ultimately end as his proud legacy. CFI was more than a company to Alfred. It was his extended family. If you ask him how he accomplished so much, as I said, the people who were around me," is what Alfred said. "Alfred prided himself," Chris said, "on bringing a family feeling to the company, something over his entire career he continued to discuss as the company grew into something larger than he could ever have imagined. Alfred always believed there wasn't anything we couldn't accomplish if we worked together. He never met a challenge he wasn't willing to take on, and he wouldn't quit or accept failure as an option. Sue Lammy, Director of Global Business Development at Wen Parker Logistics in Dallas, whose father, Don Lammy, been lost recently, one of great legends himself in the air cargo business from Air New Zealand, built Air New Zealand Cargo from nothing in the U.S. into what it is today. Well, what it was when he retired 20 years ago. Nothing goes on forever or is built on a poor foundation that lasts. Well, he built a great foundation. Sue Lammy of Wen Parker said, quote, another legend leaves us. Jason Berry, VP Cargo at Air Canada, said, Alfred's legacy to our industry extends beyond the great company he built. Having started my career on the West Coast, you can't help but have at least a story or two where his insights help shape how you think in the business today. My thoughts are with his family. Florian Pfaff, the VP Asia Pacific at Lufthansa Cargo, wonderful memories about Alfred, a true gentleman, fantastic entrepreneur, and a great host. Very happy that I had the chance to meet him during my time in California and during the few visits in the last year together with the captain. Rest in peace. Kaola Bengqing, Air Canada Cargo Regional Cargo Sales, Western U.S., Hawaiian Island, said, a great man, legend, a mentor to many, blessed with so many fond memories all over the years. Jan Krems, President of United Airlines, a great and very kind person. Very happy I have known him, wishing his family all the strength to overcome this great loss. Well, there are more. You get the idea. We've lost a great one. We have wonderful memories. His sons are there to take the business forward as part of the Kühne+Nagel organization. And we wish them Godspeed. And to you, Alfred, dear Alfred, rest in peace. Thanks for the memories. This is Jeffrey Aaron. I bet you've been away from it for a long, long time. I have. Most people I know have. We're not traveling. We're sort of sitting on the egg, as they like to say, some of the quarters in New York. Well, it's apparent to almost anyone traveling on business that there isn't enough time to enjoy authentic local scenery. I mean, how many times I could tell somebody to come to New York and enjoy themselves in New York for all the things you can do here. The people are just going to buzz in, do their business, and buzz out. That's the way it goes. Since there's nothing, you know, for anything more than survival than COVID, business as usual lately has been unusual, to say the least. But now, while the veil seems to be lifting here in USA, we maybe could get back and stick our toe in the water. That dinner that hasn't worked out into the business schedule that might be an after the over the scourge quick $12 burger served on a tray with a moist towelette in some forgotten hotel room, even though you're fresh back at it, you know what I mean, should not be something of us giving up everything in our lives for our misfortune of COVID, our appointments and connections and all the rest of it. We're back to life. Let's get back to life. Let's not give anything up now anymore. Let's be very selfish about not giving anything up after canceling 2 years or more of our collective lives. Pandemic aside, we're so quick to let a business trip spoil the excitement that comes with coming to a new place. coming or going to a new place. The town you've been zipping through for the past couple of days could be the grist for your memories mill, and sometimes culture shock can be cathartic. At the very least, a sidestep journey into a town can afford a little life experience and a few polite conversations with the locals. I love to go to Taiwan. The prospect of that place, those 25 million determined people, the highest mountain in Asia, higher than Fuji, by the way, is the mountain range in Taiwan. Prospect of that not being there, we've been hearing rumblings. Of course, it's across that narrow strait. You know, every time I hear about Taiwan being across that narrow strait, I was born in 1941. I guess I wasn't old enough to know what was going on that time, except my dad wasn't home. He was in the Navy. All my uncles were gone. Some of them didn't come back. Rest in peace. But I remember another situation where an island nation was across a very narrow strait of water. And I remember some very, very determined people. And the people I know in Taiwan are very, very determined. I mean, not slightly determined. They have a powerful democracy, and they're very, very determined. But I remember I had this appointment to see this guy, Peter Yap, who was running China Airlines Cargo at the time. And he was a tough guy, but he was very open and very, very welcoming to new ideas. And I had a lot of ideas. Well, I was sort of doing a sales pitch and having a lot of ideas. Sort of things sort of run together like that. He told me to go take a walk. He'd see me in a couple of hours. And then he called me back in before I got out of the office and said, come back the next day. So I recall spending a Sunday alone at the downtown Mandarin Hotel in Taipei, right near Nanking Road, where China Airlines had its, or maybe still does, I haven't been there in a while, had its headquarters, where Peter's office was. The Mandarin was a crew hotel. Pilots and cabin crew, but you know how they have the reputation of being tight with a buck? The old joke is they're so tight they squeak when they walk. Most pilots like to maintain a fairly high profile lifestyle, while cabin crew never has any money. Sometimes I think cabin crew invented stew. They always seem to be planning potluck dinner. The old joke, hey, this food tastes different. Did somebody wash my bowl or something? Barely affords a chuckle from these chowhounds. Well, the Taipei Mandarin is a good buy. The place was clean, maybe a bit faded, made it even a little cooler, like an old seersucker suit, you know, one that starts to slightly turn. You look like you're marching out of a Graham Greene novel or something. The restaurant, which served Chinese and American breakfast round the clock, was always a good bet. Mandarin is also equipped with a staff of husbands and wives who seem to live and tend to each individual floor. So you could be sure that a staff member will see you to your door following your check-in, and don't be surprised when your arrival is heralded with hot tea and cookies. Once I stumbled into my room after a 19-hour flight and dove straight into the shower, only to discover my disheveled heap of clothes had been neatly pressed and hung out. Lots of expatriate flyers and business types stay at the Mandarin. Anytime, day or night, Sky King is meeting under the gaze of Terry and the Pirates and Smilin' Jack, all comic book heroes of the 30s and the 40s aviation. After arriving late one Saturday when I was there and working all the next day on a story, I decided it was time to get out. The TV was rattling on in Chinese and English alternatively, about some sporting event, I think it was the Olympics or something, that no longer held my interest. I decided to take a walk to find something to eat and maybe pick up some bottled water. It was drizzling slightly, a warm early spring evening. Sundays, you know, they're always the same. Doesn't matter where you are in the world. There'll be more places open on the day after the apocalypse than any given Sunday. I stopped at a small restaurant that looked busy. Business in a restaurant is a good sign in any country. The first thing I noticed was how the place smelled. The joint smelled great. couple of beers and a plate of fried rice later, I left my small table completely satisfied. And I love the fact it had dark red curtains and little fixtures on the table for the phones. Phones are gone. Curtains were dark. Very cool place. Very slightly mysterious and fun and buzz, low buzz of conversation. Lots of couples. So I walked out of the restaurant. First thing I see around the corner is a group of people laughing and joking in the staccato ticks of quick and easy Chinese conversation. For a moment, I thought, damn it, I missed the place the cool crowd supped. I felt a need to get the name and address of said cool place so I could return at a later time. When I went to see Peter the next day, I'd bring him over here. Even though he knew all the places, I'd say, hey, how about this place? So I began to make my way into the group. It was then that a familiar sign struck me, a sign emblematic of the gaudy, tacky Americana, the flashing red, white striped logo of TGI Fridays. I laughed and wondered if my joke was funnier than the joke shared by the cool crowd. I had not come halfway around the world to eat burgers and fairy food. Now, whenever it's time to hit the road again, I think of that damp Sunday in Taipei. It reminds me to get out. Get under the moon if it's the evening. Experience more of the local scene. Or under the sun if it's daytime. Or just walk in the rain. That's always something to do as well. I've always wondered about people who come to New York, you know, from other parts of the world, insisting that the best restaurants are in Manhattan simply because they read that somewhere. Let's set the record straight. Any stiff can read a review and fork over a lot of cash. The idea is to get out, get fed, have some fun, and not get stuck paying through the teeth. Try something new, even if it's in small amounts. Live a little. If COVID's taught us anything, it has reached down into everyone's life across all borders. So we could take a closer look at what we are doing every step of the way. You know what? You may not pass this way again. Chances are you won't. Wherever you find yourself landing after a 2 or a 10 or a 14-hour flight, soaking in the shower and washing the business out of your body, remember to get out and explore your surroundings a little bit. There is more to this world than business. There are many, many hours in between. So we wish our readers and our listeners and our friends Gong Hei Fat Choi as we celebrate the tiger and we venture in these gray, short, lifting COVID New York days of February, or decreasing, I should say, COVID days of February 2022. Live a little. Be careful. Be good to each other. And for your time this time, until next time, this is Jeffrey saying, thanks for listening. And keep them flying. Air cargo. Goodbye. Today's Flying Talkers is brought to you by Kali Logistics. When it comes to keeping things moving, it's Kali, by golly. The global air cargo industry is a sunrise sector. You don't believe that? Look out at the ramp. There are thousands of airplanes carrying nothing but air cargo these days, where in past years it was in the belly, or maybe it wasn't there at all. The volume of air cargo being moved is ever increasing, and airports are finding it difficult to keep pace with expansion in terms of infrastructure, workforce, and level of automation. An end-to-end web-based air freight software or an air cargo management system can assist cargo terminal operators to address these issues. At Kali Logistics Solutions, we understand these issues well and constantly strive to provide solutions that can address these problems, promising improvement and efficiency of the operation, as well as increasing bottom line results. Kali Logistics Solutions' suite of air freight software solutions to address the challenges of air cargo stakeholders have stemmed from working alongside leading airports, including Atlanta, Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport, and other locations around the world, gaining in-depth understanding of the challenges and opportunities that define the air cargo domain. Kali's flagship air cargo management system provides state-of-the-art technology for modernization and streamlining of air cargo operations that could assist all stakeholders in overcoming the challenges. Yes, today in 2021, it's Kali, by golly.
Speak to him.
Good Lord.